Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
You know, I love this radio show, and it's days like this that I really love this radio show, and I've gotten to see some special places in the world and have broadcast this radio show from places you'd never expect a radio show to come from, and this week is one of those places. I'm in one of those places. We're sitting on Tazon Lake in northwestern Saskatchewan, a long ways from civilization, a long way from roads, but I still had a hot shower this morning, and I was able to send emails, and, you know, it's amazing these days how you can get away and still stay connected. If you want to. It's always a choice, but if you want to be able to stay connected, you can in a lot of places. Today we're connecting through the airwaves. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in. We'll find out more about this lake here this week with Trevor Montgomery from Tazon Lake Lodge. Jamie Dittman is up here with me, and he'll weigh in on his experience so far up here, and also talk about fishing back in central Minnesota, and then we'll head back to northern Minnesota and talk to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods. This is Sporting Journal Radio, and Trevor Montgomery is going to join us on the show now, of course. Trevor, this place is amazing.
Hey, Brett. Yeah, thanks a lot. We sure appreciate your view on it. It's an amazing place and definitely holds an interesting spot in my heart.
Is there a world record swimming in these waters?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. It's such a unique lake with the depths and the food base, you know, just some really deep water. It's a trout factory, and, you know, it's in what's called a special management zone, so there's no commercial netting, never has been and never can be, and that really is key, you know. Over time, as the economy changes and they're looking for local opportunities for some of the local people, they tend to increase quotas on commercial fishing, and a lot of pretty much every bigger lake in Saskatchewan has commercial fishing quotas on it, and they try and maximize those quotas. And actually, right now at this time, they have just extended those quotas out, and there's a lot more going to be going on over the next number of years, so which makes our resource even much more valuable because, of course, there can't be any netting here.
Well, and that's a huge part about that, and I want to talk a little bit more about that and the other reasons why the fish get so big here on Tazon Lake. But first, for our listeners, tell us, where are we? Where is Tazon Lake?
Sure, we're right on the Northwest Territory, Saskatchewan-Alberta border. We're in the Saskatchewan side in the northwest corner. We're about 25 air miles north of Lake Athabasca, and some people probably heard of that. A great, big, huge lake, ninth largest freshwater lake in Canada, and it's a monster of a water body. And we're just up over the hill from it. So we hold much the same type of genetics of lake trout as Athabasca does, but you know, we don't have 15, 20-foot waves coming in there, you know, and that makes a huge difference where you never miss time fishing because of weather. On Tazon Lake, you can fish no matter what. There's a great big island in the middle that breaks the lake up into four quadrants, and you can always work your way in and find calm water.
It's pretty neat fly when you fly in on a float plane. We come in, and we came in over kind of along the edge, that northwestern part of Athabasca there, and it is a huge, huge lake, and it's really neat to fly over. Nice that we don't have to sit out in the middle of it and battle some of those waves, but it's neat to fly over, and then you do cut that 25 air miles between Tazon and Athabasca. That's pretty scenic country there.
Yeah.
Rugged.
Oh, it sure is. Yeah, very rugged. It's a jutting mountain range between Athabasca and Tazon, and we're about 300 feet elevation higher than Athabasca is, so we go up and then come down on a Tazon Lake, and it's a mountain range all the way around Tazon, and that's part of the reason why we have the depths we do. You know, it's very similar to a mountain lake.
Well, let's talk about the lake and how deep it is and the fact that it's mountains, because this lake didn't always look like this.
No, back in the 30s, they built a tunnel and directed the flow to go south instead of north. And so they built a tunnel and put a dam over on the west side of the lake.
Wait, let's just back up and just have you say that one more time, because there was current going through this lake going in one direction, mm-hmm. and they literally changed the direction to go the other way.
Yeah, they changed the flow to go south instead of north. And basically, they were powering Uranium City when it was in its boom years. So, you know, in the, like I said, in the 30s and early 40s, they built that tunnel and dam and, you know, turned the lake into a reservoir. They brought the levels up about 12 feet, and it definitely has made a difference. And some of the areas we fish, of course, are the original river channel, you know, and it's huge on how it's, I guess, made the fishing better.
Trevor Montgomery, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. We're on Tazon Lake at Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan. You can catch a million trout here. I mean, you can go out there and catch trout and pike all day long. If you want action, it's not hard to find. And if you just want to go catch a bunch of fish, you showed it to us. You can just go and catch a pile of fish in a short amount of time. But if you want to catch a true giant, a world record fish, you can do that here.
Yes, definitely you can. You know, put in your time, and it's kind of the quantity versus quality thing. Quantity, you can catch a lot of fish, and, you know, big numbers. Quality, it takes a little bit longer, of course, because those big fish are smart, and sometimes it takes a little bit to figure them out and get on top of them and make sure that they are, you know, the feeding patterns are happening. But then once we get on them, a lot of times we can catch multiples too as well, you know. You get into a pod of feeding fish, and you can catch a number of those big ones in a day, as we've seen already over the course of this trip.
All catch and release.
Strictly catch and release. We keep a couple of shore launchers. We have a barbless catch and release policy here on the lake, and we make sure the barbs are pinched for protection of the fish, but also for protections of the guests and the staff, and just, I guess, spend that time, you know, catching the fish, letting them go, and making sure that they're there for the future.
It's part of the reason why these fish are getting so big, and you're catching and releasing these big ones. You're not killing them, which is great. And because it takes, I mean, some of these fish could be 100 years old.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Especially in this cold, cold water, you know. Tazan Lake is because it's so deep, it stays cold, you know, and it stays cold year-round, and that really makes a huge difference on, I guess, the growth patterns of these fish. And they can almost grow indefinitely in this type of cold water.
What is the world record or even the provincial record here?
Sure, the world record currently for lake trout is sitting at about 72 pounds, 72 and a bit pounds. And in 05, we tied that with a great big 15.5-incher with a 35.5-inch girth. Tied that one then, and the provincial record is measured in length and not in weight, and it's currently 52 inches. And in the last 2 weeks, we've tied that record twice. We've caught two 52-inchers so far this summer.
That's insane. Now, when you talk about some of these big fish, I mean, people like to use the 40-inch mark as a good benchmark for a trophy lake trout fish. How often do you catch these trophy lakers, the over 40s?
It's a daily occurrence. Yeah, pretty much. You know, of course, there's a lot of factors involved, but pretty much, you know, like we've been out and we've caught three. I was out this morning. We caught three, you know, that were 40, a couple of 42s and a 40. And then, you know, yesterday we got into some, the day before, every day, 46 inches, 47 inches, you know, 48 inches. It's been a great season.
Of course, nothing's ever guaranteed, but you do catch these fish, and you said quality over quantity, so sometimes it might take you a little bit to land one of these big giants, but you do it pretty regularly, it seems like.
Yes, definitely. We spend the time out there, and, you know, it does take a little bit more time than you just catching action fish, but they're there, and we do catch them all the time.
You got 50-inch pike in the lake?
Yes, we do. Camp record is 53 inches so far.
We went out the other day. That can't even be real. Oh, come on, no. Trevor.
It's unreal. Great big fish. You know, just the other night we went out and had some fun with some topwater stuff and caught a big 44-incher on a popper, and just, having a great time out here.
Some of the most fun I've had while fishing anywhere has been sight fishing for pike here on Tazan Lake.
Yes, definitely. The water clarity is amazing in this lake, and there's some areas where it's just crystal clear. You can't even tell there's water there a lot of times, you know. And being able to see those fish, and we actively hunt them. You know, we're looking for the big ones. We go out and we sight fish for them and spend the time trying to actively catch them and, you know, bring them up and get them ready to go.
Biggest pike I had caught was 43.5-inch northern pike. I caught two of them up here last year. I caught another one again this year. Catching 40-inch pike, it's almost, I hate to downplay it, but it's almost not even a big deal here because it seems like it happens quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a regular occurrence, that's for sure. You know, there's a good stock of them in the lake. We find a lot. The lake is a lake trout factory, but it also is a pike factory. It has a number of rivers flowing into it. There's a lot of the right productive bays with access to deep water, with some nice mud flats, and that's what we're looking for. You know, that if you want big pike, you need access to deep water, because those big ones don't live in those shallow bays for more than a week in the spring, and then they start moving out into the deeper water.
Trevor Montgomery is with us from Tazan Lake Lodge, and that's where we are, just south of the border with the Northwest Territories and northwestern Saskatchewan, where the sun rises too early and the sunset is too late, or maybe it's just right. More from Tazan Lake coming up, plus we'll get some fishing reports from back in Minnesota, too.
Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman, and if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring. spring and what the rates are. Visit MidMigrationOutfitters.com. Book your hunt now and join us this fall.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Minnesota's Kemper and Jiminy Fent of the Summer. Moondance Jam 26.
The lineup is locked.
And we're ready to rock with live. Hailstorm. The Steve Miller Band. Melissa Etheridge. Peter Frampton. The Pretty Reckless. Better Than Ezra. Blackstone Cherry. Vince Neil, Motley Crue, and many more. Jammers, save $30 off the gate price when you order your tickets now. Call 877-MOON-JAM or visit moondancejam.com. Moondance Jam 26, July 20th through the 22nd, Walker, Minnesota.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. We're at Tazen Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan chasing giant lake trout. We've got some more fishing to do, but we've caught a large number of lakers over 40 inches, some pushing 50 pounds or more. We've caught huge pike in the mid-40s and then had our fill of rod-bending fish. And Trevor Montgomery is with us. Trevor, the giant fish is why you come here, the chance at a world record. But if somebody wanted to catch 100 lake trout in a day, you could probably do that in a couple of hours here.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, there's spots where we can go and have some great action. And, you know, it all depends on what the client wants. And that's what we're always looking at is, what does the client want? What are their goals? What are their objectives for their trip? Because we want to make sure that when somebody comes here, we meet those objectives, you know.
You have shore lunches every day, and I always think it's funny how you start to think about keeping fish for shore lunch about 10 minutes before it's time to go in for shore lunch.
Yeah, certainly, hey. Well, we like to keep them fresh, and then as soon as we get them, we fillet them up and get them, you know, on ice or straight into the pan, one of the two, and boy, they sure taste good when they're like that.
Yeah, well, and I like them fresh, too, but, I mean, literally 10 minutes before, yeah, let's go over here, we'll catch a couple pike quick. I mean, it's just, you can catch them at will.
Yeah, certainly, hey. Well, we have a great population of them and some great techniques to be able to catch them, and there's a lot of spots with all kinds of small pike or small trout that we take for lunch.
You know, I should mention, too, a few minutes ago, we talked about the sunset and the sunrise, and we get off the air, and you said, yeah, it doesn't really, the sun doesn't really set here. It's light for most of the day, isn't it?
Especially this time of year. Yeah, we get into August and you get pitch black at, you know, 8 o'clock in the evening. But this time of year, it's just kind of like a cloudy day all night long. So it's great. And that way, often too, we can maximize our fishing time because of that. You know, it's not a problem being able to go out and see and fish. And after supper, we have no problem with guests going fishing and being able to check it out and, you know, spend some time around. There's little boats for the guests to take out for themselves in the evening, or they can go with their guide, you know, just depending on what they want to do and how they want to do it.
Tazen Lake Lodge on an island here on Tazen Lake. I want people to learn more about the camp here, because anytime you can be this far removed from home and still have hot showers in your cabin, in where you are, it's like getting an unexpected bonus.
Absolutely. To me, it's all about clean, warm, and dry. And that's what we've always tried to base the camp on is, you know, flush toilets, hot water, endless supply. We have on-demand water heaters, so hot water heaters. So it's an endless supply of hot water, too, as well. You know, you can shower for an hour if you want to. And the lake water is amazing on your skin, you know. And, excuse me, just having the facilities necessary so that clients can do what they need. Brett, you already talked about, you know, wireless internet and, you know, we got a satellite TV dish up here. So we got a little bit of anything for whatever the client desires or needs.
I've added about 15 pounds in the few days that I've been up here. Tell us about Steve, Trevor.
Yeah, Steve Driver. We're very fortunate. He's our chef up here. He's been with us for a few years now. And his day job during the summer or during the spring, fall, and winter, the off season, he teaches commercial cooking and institutional cooking at our local community college here in Saskatchewan, SAS Polytech. And he's just absolutely amazing. We've had rave reviews. Every guest who ever's come has said, wow, I've never seen food like that ever before. Not just the quality of the food, but the presentation skills and that. You know, he's one of a kind. So we're very fortunate and we're happy to have him.
Yep, he's going to have to come home and cook for me at home now, you know. Trevor Montgomery, our guest, Tasman Lake Lodge, Sporting Journal Radio. I want our listeners to learn a little bit more about you, Trevor. Where are you from?
Sure. I currently reside just south of Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. I've been living there for about 25, almost 30 years now. It was kind of a gateway for me. I was born and raised in Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories. I cut my fish and teeth standing on the rocks at Great Slave Lake, casting off the shore there.
With what? What were you casting off the rocks with? I'm a Great Slave.
Oh, the old pocket fisherman. I still got pictures. It was an amazing thing, you know? Yeah, and spent time there. And then when I was, nine, we moved down to Saskatoon, and we had some great times there. I've done a lot of fishing over the years. My mom was great. She took us camping, my mom and my dad, camping all the time, and we would spend time out there. Mom would bring a book and drive me and my brother out to spots, and we'd sit there and watch our little bobbers all day for perch or casting off the dock for pike or whatever. And then as you keep growing, developed into, you know, was a Cub Scout for a bunch of years and just kept on developing into more. Took my training as a game warden in the early 90s. Finished that off, continued to guide. I was already a fishing hunting guide at that time. Just continued to guide more, and it just developed that love and passion, you know, and it's been great that way. Guided at a number of the large and major lakes here in Saskatchewan for years, and then found this place and guided for the previous owner here for a couple of years. And then when the opportunity came up to, buy into it, I knew that this was the lake. All the other places I guided, there was just something always missing. And when I found this place, it was it's unbelievable. The fishing, the scenery. You know, so many guests come here and they go, wow, I've never seen anything as beautiful as this. Just because of that mountain range. It's not something you see in Saskatchewan. You know, it's very unique. It's a totally, complete, unique lake. The depths are just unheard of in this province, you know.
And you alluded to it. You've guided in a lot of different places. You've seen a lot of different things. And it's not just fishing guide. You've done some guiding hunting, too.
Yes, that's correct. Different places in Saskatchewan, a little bit in BC, a little bit in Alberta. You know, I spent some time up in the Yukon. And, you know, we're blessed being Canadians living in the areas we do. There's no doubt about that. And we have some of the best resources in the world. And being able to hunt and fish it, and as well as not just that, but share it with clients, is an amazing, amazing feeling.
So being up in the Yukon or British Columbia like that, that had to be some rugged country up there, too.
Extremely, yeah. Everything I did up there was fly-in, so we were up and, you know, either in a mountain range or over top of a mountain range and on the other side in the valley. And, did right from hunting big game, all kinds, all the species of big game, to some fishing guiding up there, too, as well. And, like you say, once again, we're blessed.
You get up into that part of the woods, or even this neck of the woods here, and you get around some of those big games. You ever get into some dangerous situations at all with big game?
I had a few hairy situations over the years, but of course, as a guide, you're allowed to carry protection. We typically carry a shotgun and slugs, and haven't had to dispatch anything in that situation, but had a few things that made the hair on the back of my neck stand up, that's for sure.
Bears?
Yeah, bears typically. Bears, moose one time too as well, trying to get out, called it in, spent an hour and a half calling it in, finally got it in, it was almost dark, and he wasn't the one the hunter was looking for, so we had to now walk 100 yards from the bush back to the shore to get into our boat with a very angry moose around on the shoreline. So it was tense, that's for sure, but we made it out, didn't have to fire off any warning shots, so that was a good thing.
Well, and where I'm going with that is, if you are out in the middle of nowhere like that, whether it's big game or you're falling off a ladder or something like that, it's nice to know, have some medical training, some survival skills, and you've got that. You even teach some of that.
Yes, I also own a safety company. That's kind of my summertime or my wintertime job, and I'm a first responder and a medic. So we do try and make sure that everybody's cared for. We have our first aid gear up here and have everything in place to be able to do the best we can, depending on the situation at hand.
Going back to being a fishing guide, yeah, you grew up fishing. You grew up around it. What made you decide that that's what you wanted to do for a job?
Originally, I thought I wanted to be a game warden, but after taking the training, that I learned a pile from it. But it just didn't give me the fulfillment I was looking for. And you know, I guess every day I leave the dock when I'm guiding, I just think to myself, wow, I can't believe that I get paid to do this. And I guess now I don't get paid to do it anymore, but I still have that same feeling of, wow, awesome, another day on the water, you know. And not many people can say that when they're getting ready to go to work every day.
Well, it's a special place, Tazen Lake here in Saskatchewan, and I appreciate you having us back up here once again. Tazen Lake Lodge, TazenLake.com. Trevor Montgomery, thanks for having us up here. Of course, thanks for being on the radio show.
Excellent. Well, thank you for the opportunity to be able to come on here, Brett. It's been a great time having you guys here, too, as well, and we still got a couple more days yet.
Yes, we do. Let's go get some big ones.
Sounds good. Let's get them.
Jamie Dimon is up here with us right now, too. He's done all right this week. He's having no fun, I know.
Yeah, he personal best. No, I guess he didn't. He just did a little shy of ears, but yeah, he's done great. He's been catching some big ones and having some fun and catching a bunch. So.
Well, that first Laker he got, the 46.5 by 28, he's putting that one, he's getting a replica, putting that on the wall.
Awesome. Well, that's great. That'll be a really nice one. It was a big old hog.
Yeah, he was excited. See the picture of that at Sporting Journal Radio on Facebook. See it on our Facebook page. We'll get his impression of Tazen Lake and also a fishing report from Central Minnesota, plus Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods coming up on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman. And if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com.
Hi, folks. Al Linder here, encouraging you to buy Minnesota's walleye stamp. Here's why. Your voluntary donation goes to a specific DNR account for raising and stocking walleyes in more than 1,000 lakes. It can't be used for anything else, so you're helping Minnesota's walleye fishery. I've got mine. Get yours today, wherever Minnesota fishing licenses are sold.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Haybale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Haybale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit HaybaleHeights.com. That's HaybaleHeights.com.
Minnesota's Camping Jam event of the summer. Moondance Jam 26.
The lineup is locked.
And we're ready to rock with live Hailstorm, the Steve Miller Band, Melissa Etheridge, Peter Frampton, The Pretty Reckless, Better Than Ezra, Blackstone Cherry, Vince Neil of Motley Crue, and many more. Jammer, save $30 off a gate price when you order your tickets now. Call 877-MOON-JAM or visit moondancejam.com. Moondance Jam 26, July 20 through the 22nd, Walker, Minnesota.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Take me fishing, because our boat's cooler than any video game.
Take me fishing and make me feel 16 again.
Take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you.
Take me fishing, because my wedding will be sooner than you think.
Rediscover the joy of boating and fishing. Get information and get going at takemefishing.org.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back on Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson, and we're at Tazen Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan. And in fact, sitting on the deck overlooking the lake right now. We just had a great meal. We're getting ready to go do some more fishing. And I had the chance to come up here last year. It was the best lake trout and northern pike fishing I've ever seen. I was up here with Lance Tangen last year. And this year, Jamie Dittman came along, and he joins us right now here on the show. Jamie, you guide in the Brainerd Lakes area, which in its own right has some world-class fishing. But have you ever seen anything like this here on Tazen Lake?
Well, I used to guide in Brainerd Lakes area, but I think I'm living here now. So this is amazing. I mean, I've caught lake trout, but the lake trout here, you can't even describe them.
I fished the first day. Within the first 7 minutes of having lines in the water, we had two trout over 42 inches long. The next day, you got to fish, and that first trout you caught, how big was that?
Well, my day wasn't as good as yours. It took like 40 minutes to catch my first fish, but it was 46 and a half by 28 and a half, just a hog lake trout.
That's amazing. And aren't those fish, lake trout in general, but especially these big ones, aren't those fish strong?
Yeah, they're really tough. And you know, all the lake trout we see at home, they're kind of streamlined like a walleye or something like that. And these are just hogs. They're just huge bellies.
What did you think the first, 47-28, somebody got a big,
I got it.
Oh, you got another big laker, just came out of the lake, another big giant one. And Jamie, what did you think the first time that you saw that first super tanker come out of the water?
I was just amazed how big around they were. I mean, it's like a huge tuna coming up, and the lake is so clear, you can see them coming up for 30 feet. And they're just, and then they see the boat, and then they get all upset again and go back down, and it was a blast.
Yeah, pulling line out, drag is screaming, rod is bouncing down against the water.
Yeah, you see why you need a 4-foot net up here.
Yeah, that's right. Jamie Dittman, our guest, we're on Tazen Lake in northwestern Saskatchewan at Tazen Lake Lodge, catching giant lakers 10 years ago, fish about 72 pounds. Which is a world-class size, came out of this lake here on Tazen Lake. And you talked about the clear water a little bit, Jamie. How cool was it to sight fish those big giant pike?
Oh, the pike up here are just so aggressive. From small pike to 40-inch pike, when you have one follow, there'll be four more follow. When you catch one, another one tries to grab that one. And all the pike under 30 inches have teeth marks from bigger pike.
We tried out some new camera gear, and we just wanted to catch, you know, a ton of fish. And if you like to feel the rod bend, it's pretty easy to catch a lot of fish here, isn't it?
Yeah, I just went off the dock and caught some pike. And yesterday we went out and got some 5-10-pound lake trout, one after another. I think about, I don't know how many I had in a row. And the pike fishing, you go 5 casts, every cast you get a fish.
Yeah, and you can see them with those pike in that shallow, clear water. You start seeing, and you're usually seeing more than one fish at a time.
Yeah, and then the top waters are jumping out 2 feet after it, and you miss that one, there's another one to grab it. So,
we made the joke the other day that we were going to have a shore lunch, and we needed to go catch some fish for a shore lunch. And how much time did we leave ourselves to catch fish before having to stop for shore lunch?
I think it was 5 or 10 minutes, and we caught our shore lunch. But then we went to the island to have shore lunch, pull up the boat and catch 5 more northerns in 5 minutes right at the shore lunch spot. So it's pretty easy.
Yeah, you know, and it was funny because we wanted to catch some nice eater-sized pike for the shore lunch. And Trevor Montgomery up here, who we just heard from, caught one pike. Oh, this is a perfect one for eater size. Pulls it up out of the water, takes it off the hook. It flops around and flops right back into the lake. Lost that one. Oh, I guess we got to cast again. 2 minutes later, he's got another fish about the same size on, takes it off the hook, flops around, hits the rod holder, and bounces back into the boat. So we didn't starve, but yeah, catching fish like that, I mean, you can catch them at will.
Yeah, it's just amazing, and I don't think we're going to starve up here.
Well, not just the shore lunches, but how about the rest of the food at this place?
Yeah, it's probably the best food I've ever eaten. I mean, you come to a place like this, you know, hundreds of miles from anywhere, you know, on an island, and the food is all 5-star food, just amazing.
And what a neat area up here as well, too. What's been your favorite place about coming up here so far?
I don't know. I guess it's kind of traveling in the boat and seeing all the different things you drive by, you know, the different types of tree lines and rocks and the lakes. You can see down 10 feet, 20 feet in all these lakes and see fish. A little exploring on the island and The desserts.
The desserts are unbelievable. Steve, the chef up here, is, world-class chef and one of the best chefs in Saskatchewan. I'd put him up against just about anybody that I know of that makes food. And, he eat at breakfast. Sometimes lunches, when you come in for lunch, he's making something special. And it's amazing what he can do. Basically, he could go out into the woods, grab 3 sticks and 2 pine cones, and he'd have a gourmet meal.
Yeah, I mean, we're here every day. And we have, you know, fresh pastries and bread, and we just had burgers with homemade buns. I mean, it's just unbelievable what he makes.
Jamie Dittman, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio. We're on Tazen Lake in northwestern Saskatchewan at Tazen Lake Lodge. I had the chance to come up here last year. Maybe you saw some of the pictures. Caught a 48 by 30 and a half inch lake trout, estimated to be 56 pounds. Just an absolute behemoth. And Jamie's caught a big one up here this year. I think there's been three lake trout over 46, 47 inches just since we've been up here. Before we got up here, I think they caught 50, maybe 52-inch laker. I mean, just giant, giant lake trout. And, of course, Trevor, earlier in the show, told us a little bit more about this area and how you can fish it in any kind of wind. And it's just it's a very special, special place. And, of course, back in Minnesota, Jamie, there's a lot of special places back there to fish, too. And this time of year, you know, up here in northwest Saskatchewan, it's almost spring-like. You know, we're getting low 70s. It's getting a little cool at night. It's been kind of rainy, but back in Minnesota, it's July, it's getting warmer, and then there was fireworks, of course, this week. Happy 4th of July, by the way, everybody. What happens to the fish on some of those lakes when they got a fireworks display on them?
I don't know. I'm guessing the fireworks kind of act like lightning and drive them down, you know, spook them a little bit. And knowing back home, there's a lot of fireworks on Gull Lake and the other area lakes, so it might slow them down for a day.
Right. I think it's like having a big giant, thunderstorm over the lake like that. But when things start to warm up, and from what you've been hearing, it's kind of transitioning. So there's a lot of summer patterns out there. Maybe people pulling some crawler harnesses, things like that, spinners.
Yeah, we're starting to pull crawlers, you know, in 27 to 35 feet for walleyes. And the bass are starting to go to the deep end of the cabbage weeds. And it's just kind of that time of year.
So if you were going out this weekend to fish for, let's say you're going to go try to catch some bass, what would you do out there?
Bass, I'd be fishing, 14 to 18 feet on the edge of the cabbage weeds. Maybe a little heavier wacky worm or like Carolina rig or something like that. And, even if you want to Lindy rig with a sucker right outside of them, you'll catch pike, walleyes, and bass all on that same rig. So.
Yeah, didn't you do that? Didn't you, you went up to Ontario a couple weeks ago now and used one lure and caught 80 different species. I think it was 80. We counted. Maybe it wasn't 80, but it was a lot.
But that's 80 in Canadian. So it's different in the U.S. We got to figure out the numbers. I think it was like 12.
That's right. Jamie Dittman, our guest here, just another minute or two. What about musky fishing out there? Things will start getting, maybe starting to heat up a little bit, you think? Or what are you hearing about muskies out there?
They should be starting to heat up. You know, last week in Ontario, we were getting them in shallow yet, so they're a little behind where we are. So, they should be out in their midsummer patterns now, a little deeper, some bigger diving lures. And, I haven't been out yet, but they should, when I get home, that'll be on the list.
And if you were going to chase walleyes this weekend, what would you do?
Oh, walleyes. I would say, find some fish in 25 to 30 feet with crawler harnesses. You know, I start with gold blades and see what you can figure out there. And as you're marking them, you'll figure out if they're deeper or shallower.
You got some guide trips coming up?
Yep. Should be busy next week when I get home, if I come home. And
how do people get in the boat with you?
Just call S&W Bait or look up S&W Guide Service on Facebook.
Jamie, are you glad you came along to Tazen Lake?
I'm glad I did. I just might not come home.
Tazen Lake Lodge, northwestern Saskatchewan, up in the corner, TazenLake.com. You can see some more pictures from our trip. In fact, you can see Jamie's fish, his big lake trout that he caught at the beginning of the week, up here at the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page. Look up Sporting Journal Radio on Facebook. We got more fishing coming up from Tazen Lake Lodge. Joe Henry will join us next on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman. And if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com. Book your hunt now and join us this fall.
Listen to our singing roadsides. They are a living natural resource that provides homes for wildlife like meadowlarks, bobolinks, and pheasants. In many agricultural areas, roadsides are vital places where birds can live and hatch their young. Delaying your roadside mowing until August 1st can double wildlife production. Every day counts. Keep some music in your life by preserving our singing roadsides. A message from this station and the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Minnesota's Kempfen and Chamonix event of the summer. Moondance Jam 26.
The lineup is locked.
And we're ready to rock with live. Hailstorm. The Steve Miller Band. Melissa Etheridge. Peter Frampton. The Pretty Reckless. Better Than Ezra. Blackstone Cherry. Vince Neil of Motley Crue and many more. Save $30 off a gate price when you order your tickets now. Call 877-MOON-JAM or visit moondancejam.com. Moondance Jam 26, July 20th through the 22nd, Walker, Minnesota.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson, and we are on the road. We're in Saskatchewan, Taz and Lake, and we're going to go all the way back to Lake of the Woods. It's a long-distance dedication, ladies and gentlemen, from Joe Henry. Joe, how's it going back there in the States?
Brett, I'll tell you what, there's not many times you're north of me.
That's very true. We are way up, man, close to the Northwest Territories. It's crazy. And Joe, one of the most unique things I think about this part of the world out here is there's no walleyes around here. It just boggles my mind that you can fish some of these lakes up here and to be in Canada on a lake and not be able to fish for walleye. That's just crazy to me.
I tell you what, if you can't catch walleyes up there, there must be a lot of therapists around helping people out.
Okay, I should say, if there's no walleyes in the lake.
Okay.
I'm sure if they were here, we could catch them. But there's no walleyes. There's no walleyes in the lakes here. So, Lake of the Woods, of course, walleye factory, and the fish are biting. Of course, it's been a great summer for it over there.
Oh my gosh, it's been so good, you know, so consistent. I mean, we have such a good fishery. We're very blessed. You know, it's all natural reproduction. I mean, there's no stocking on Lake of the Woods, and you know, it just keeps producing. And you know, the other thing it's neat to see is you're catching all sizes of walleyes. I mean, you're catching little 7 inches all the way up to 32 inches. I mean, you get them all, and that's a sign of a good, healthy fishery.
One thing I have always liked about Lake of the Woods and any fishing trip for that matter is the adventure behind it. You know, fishing is always a bonus. Good fishing is always a bonus. But the whole adventure, the travel, the getting there, the things you do while you're there, the places you go, the people you meet, the things that you see. And one of my favorite places and one of my favorite things whenever I go to Lake of the Woods, Joe, was having shore lunch at Garden Island.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's a special time. You know, I always kid around with folks and say, you know, you better be careful with having a shore lunch because it's going to screw up any fish fry you have at home ever again.
You're ruined. That's right.
But you know what? It's kind of cool because, you know, to your point, you know, there's a couple strong shoreline points on the south end of the lake when you're going on a charter boat. And, you know, one of them is Garden Island on the north end of the basin. And the other one is Zippo Bay State Park. We do a lot of shore lunches at. And, you know, Brett, one of the cool things about Lake of the Woods and jumping on a charter boat is that, you know, you can, I don't care who you are, even if you don't fish, you can go stay at a nice resort. You wake up in the morning, have a nice breakfast. You walk out to the docks at about 8 o'clock in the morning. You jump on a charter boat. They're going to take care of everything for you. They're going to take you out to the fish. If the fish have moved, they're linked up with other captains via marine band. They're going to figure out what those fish are doing today. They're going to get you on them, show you what to use. They provide all the rods, reels, bait, and tackle. And, you know, your job all day is to catch fish and have a good time.
That's terrible.
And it's perfect because, you know what, a lot of people don't want to have to worry about navigation or where the fish are or, you know, gosh, we're going 10 miles out. We're going 20 miles out. Well, hey, if that's what it takes to get you under fish, we're going to do it. And it's really a neat atmosphere. Plus, you know, I take a look at the opportunity to get people into fishing that maybe don't fish very much, like kids and maybe elderly folks, business groups. It's all part of it. But then the shore lunch experience, you know, it's really kind of cool for lunch rather than grabbing a brown bag and grabbing a sandwich and stuff on the water. Once in a while, it's fun to go up and these guides, they all have their own special way of doing it. And they all have their own special batter recipes. And, you know, some of them will make little appetizers with fried potatoes, almost like homemade potato chips. And, you know, others have famous batter that they can't disclose what the secret recipe is. And it's really an art form to watch these guides who are good at it do it, because like one of the things they usually obviously using cast iron pans, but they're getting that fish going. And what they do to control the temperature of that oil is they always leave a little spot open so that if they have to, they can add a cold piece of fish to bring that temperature down to the oil. And some of them, the way they might cook bacon in the oil first to get the oil flavored and then cook the fish. And, I mean, they got so many nuances. It's just a good meal.
You're talking to Joe Henry here from Lake of the Woods about shore lunch, and that honestly, you'd almost eat it raw at that point. For some reason, it tastes so much better when you catch it and fillet it up and you have it that day. It doesn't get any fresher than that. It doesn't. You're sitting on a point overlooking a big lake. It just doesn't get any better than that, Joe.
It is pretty cool, and you know, it's kind of neat too, because then of course we talk about the Northwest angle. And, you know, that's a little bit different in the sense that you probably aren't going to be going on a charter boat on the angle. What you're going to be doing is going out with a guide who's got probably a 20-foot walleye boat. And you can fish Minnesota or you can fish the Ontario side, where they'll take you up amongst the 14,000 islands and really give you an adventure. And, of course, you'll catch multi-species again, and they provide all the equipment just like you do in the south. And the shore lunch is going to be on a rock. You know, with all those islands there, they normally pick out they got a couple of favorite shore lunch spots based on what part of the lake they're fishing. And they'll take you up on a rock and they'll do it all up. And again, it's a little bit different than doing the Zippo Bay State Park or the Garden Island, but in the same right, it's a very neat experience. And, you know, I know guides that even will experiment with doing blackened pike and, you know, just some really cool things that you say, holy smokes, I can't believe I'm eating this right now. I don't want this day to end.
You're making me hungry right now. Yeah. And Joe, on this trip, I love these trips where, you know, I love using my gear and jumping in the boat and heading out, finding the fish and doing all that. I love that. But it's so much fun to be able to go up to, like Lake of the Woods where I'm at up here and just kick back and relax. And, the guides kind of do the work for you. Of course, you're still catching the fish. You're still doing that part of it. But they kind of cater to you for everything else like that. It's nice. And seven shore lunches we're doing every day up here. And one thing about Garden Island I wanted to bring up, Joe, is it's a neat place. And I remember the first time that I went there, I just thought it was going to be this island out in the middle of the lake somewhere. I had no idea. There's a lot of history behind that island, isn't there?
Yeah, there is a lot of history behind it. And, you know, it's also a state park.
Right.
So what was kind of cool to me is that, you know, everybody rents a charter boat to go to or a guide to go fishing, right? Well, not the case. There's a whole group of people that are really into geocaching. That, you know, they have geocaches at every state park in Minnesota, and they actually go up there just to say they got every state park in Minnesota, and Garden Island might be the last one.
that's going. So do they drop their own boat in, or do they hop on a launch to go to the island just for geocaching?
Yeah, well, it depends on how adept they are at, you know, boating. But, you know, if they're a hardcore angler, well, then they can drop their own boat and head up there, but or head down, depends on which part of the lake you come from. But otherwise, most people just hire a guide and they say, hey, this is part of our adventure. This is what we like to do. Some people fish. We love geocaching. So they talk to a guide and, you know, they can set up the whole day where they explore the island. And there's a lot of land on Garden Island, and they do the geocaching. It's the bush. It's uninhabited. There's a cool little, on one point on the very, I guess it'd be the east end of it, there's actually a shack there, like a shelter house. What that's used for is if you'd ever run into a storm, it's a place to take harbor. For the snowmobile trail goes right over the tip of Garden Island there. And in the wintertime, if you ever have a real bad whiteout or a blizzard or your snowmobile breaks down or something, that's a place that you can go into. They always keep wood and matches in there in case you have to light a fire. And I know many instances where people, they were lost in a whiteout and they found that place, and that's where they took shelter overnight.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about Lake of the Woods, specifically Garden Island. And there actually were gardens on the island, right? Native Americans had gardens there. Is that where the name comes from?
You know, I don't know, Brett. That's a real good question. You might know more about that than I do.
All right, I'll cut that part out. But I remember reading the sign when I was on the island, and I thought that was the story. I can't remember, but... Well, it's a neat area, and of course, so much to explore and do up there. In addition to fishing, like I said, the adventure is what always gets me. I mean, I love the adventure, and then of course, when you go up there, I've never had a bad day fishing on Lake of the Woods, Joe.
Yeah, it's a good fishery, and you know, it's funny because everything's relative. You know, if you go fishing on your own and you don't land on those fish, you probably won't catch fish. So that can happen. But when you're with a guide, you know, they're working to catch you fish, and they're so networked that they're going to get you on them. And, you know, what some people say is, guys, if I'm going to go to Lake of the Woods, if I'm going to spend my vacation up there, I want to do it right. And not only that, I don't want to have to worry about stuff. To your point earlier, I want to be able to go out and just, you know, I really have to worry about two things in a day. What should I wear and what should I eat? Everything else is taken care of for me. In fact, when you come back to the dock at night, your guide will even clean your fish for you, so you can slide in for happy hour and relax. Some people will, if they didn't get enough walleye during the shore lunch, they'll eat the rest of their walleyes of the day for dinner, or maybe they'll switch up and have steak, prime rib, burger, homemade pizza. I mean, you know, you're talking about some very nice resorts. Some are more mom pa family oriented, where you can cook your own meals, and of course, there's a lot of full service resorts that have really nice restaurants and bars and such.
Well, a lot of places to stay, a lot of places to go and do and things to see. And, of course, fishing, Lake of the Woods. Joe, if somebody wants to head up there, where do they find out more info?
You know, our website's the main source, and it's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Thank you very much, Joe Henry. And, of course, also my thanks to Trevor Montgomery from Tasman Lake Lodge and Jamie Dittman as we enjoyed another week in the Saskatchewan wilderness up on Tasman Lake at Tasman Lake Lodge. Some huge, huge giant lake trout. There's world record lake trout swimming in this lake. Huge, huge pike. And sight fishing these pike up, some of the most exciting fishing I've ever done in my life. If you want to find out more about Tasman Lake Lodge, you can go to tasmanlake.com. Of course, you can see pictures on our Facebook page. It's look up Sporting Journal Radio. You'll be able to see some more pictures at sportingjournalradio.com. And you can find us on Instagram as well and see some more pictures there as well. And hopefully we'll be back up again next year. So join us again next week here on Sporting Journal Radio. Of course, if you missed any part of the show, you'll be able to podcast it at sportingjournalradio.com or subscribe to our podcasts in iTunes. You got to download or check that podcast app if you're an iPhone user, or go into your iTunes and get into the podcasts, and you can search for Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for listening, and make sure you take some time to spend some time in the outdoors this week.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.